Life isn't about balancing competing demands. It's about weaving together three essential relationships that define our existence. The traditional concept of work-life balance fundamentally misunderstands human fulfillment, suggesting we must constantly juggle competing elements in a zero-sum game. What if, instead of seeing our commitments as rivals for limited time and energy, we recognize them as different expressions of how we belong to the world? We belong to life through three principal dynamics: our relationship with others, particularly in partnership, our relationship with work, and our relationship with ourselves. These aren't separate commitments competing for resources, but interconnected dimensions of a meaningful life. When we neglect any one, we impoverish them all. Consider how suppressing creative ambitions for relationship stability often brings a diminished self to that very relationship. Or how sacrificing deep personal reflection for career advancement eventually leaves our work lacking authenticity and purpose. The goal isn't balance, but synthesis, finding what David White calls a marriage of marriages, where these different aspects of life inform and strengthen each other. Imagine approaching career decisions not as something balanced against family, but as an essential expression of selfhood that must be in conversation with our other core relationships. Or consider how supporting a partner's career growth often leads to personal growth for both individuals and strengthens the partnership itself. We fall in love through profound internal recognition, a deep inner correspondence that resonates with our core self. Consider Dante first seeing young Beatrice, or Yeats struck speechless at the sight of Maud gone near apple blossoms. These moments reveal when something essential within us recognizes its counterpart in the world. This dynamic extends to our relationship with work. Looking at extraordinary lives, we find threshold moments that forecast future paths. Joan of Arc's woodland visions and Dickens' time-labeling boot polish while his family was in debtor's prison represent instances where individuals discovered their true calling. Our relationship with ourselves develops through similar recognition, though these moments prove harder to identify. Unlike finding partners or work, encountering the self requires intense experiences, silence, and self-compassion. We attempt surface-level changes to connect with our inner selves, simultaneously seeking both humility and greatness. The path of passionate pursuit courts trouble, as history shows. When Robert Louis Stevenson learned Fanny Osborne was ill, he left Scotland nearly penniless on the Devonia, defying his father's wishes. Among emigrants seeking new lives in steerage, Stevenson knew his journey stemmed from passion alone. The pursuit manifests differently by gender. Women's geographic pursuits often draw pity, while their true pursuit unfolds through self-reflection and female counsel. Men typically pursue alone, keeping their intentions private. The pursuit of work transcends daily tasks. While routine work involves concrete actions, pursuing meaningful work means confronting intangibles and personal dissatisfaction. I discovered this when a lunch companion's story about blocked salmon migrations revealed how administrative duties had obscured my environmental program's true purpose. All meaningful commitments have crucial testing points that challenge our resolve. In a Himalayan monastery, I encountered a fierce Vajrapani guardian figure, half man, half woman, wielding a thunderbolt spear and drinking from a skull cup. My instinctive fear revealed the figure's true purpose, to surface our deepest anxieties rather than asking us to abandon them. The pursuit of self-knowledge triggers a quickening, an intensification of challenges as our surface identity breaks down before a new one forms. Medieval monks called this state a city, a spiritual emptiness where motivation wanes. The guardian demands our whole self, including our fears and doubts. By embracing our fears, we create space to hold others' vulnerabilities. When we stop seeking exemption from suffering, we can truly welcome others. Though the journey of self-discovery feels deeply solitary, this very isolation connects us to humanity's shared experience of confronting life's challenges alone. Marriage is a demanding examination that few pass easily. Happy marriages rarely appear in literature, not because they're uncommon, but because their joy lies in the seemingly mundane, shared routines, quiet evenings, and daily kindnesses that form the foundation of lasting contentment. We enter marriage seeking enhancement and connection, but often find our previous identity dissolved and loneliness deepened. The challenge isn't preserving our former selves, but rebuilding from scratch. What emerges is neither partner's vision, but something new, a third entity born from their collision and dialogue, belonging to both, yet neither. Humor becomes vital for survival, the ability to laugh at dignity's collapse amid relationships' messiness. Marriage requires seeing our partner's essence, their unspoken dreams, fears, and deepest hopes. This demands emotional peripheral vision, noting both the spoken and unspoken. Sometimes, love means allowing our partner freedom to explore life independently, even as we face our fears of abandonment. What humans need to do good work is less than they imagine. A quiet corner, basic tools, and uninterrupted time suffice, as Jane Austen proved by writing 5 classic novels at a small table in a busy family room using a squeaky door hinge to warn of interruptions. Her example shows how genius can flourish in modest circumstances. The glittering object, whether a classic car, perfect workspace, or corner office, often seems like the solution to our problems. We imagine ourselves transformed by possession. Yet such fantasies can prevent progress by keeping us focused on an idealized future rather than engaging with the present. Perfect conditions rarely materialize, and waiting for them becomes elegant procrastination. A marriage with work, like any marriage, brings both joys and difficulties. Each profession has its thorns, the teacher's grading, the surgeon's sleepless nights, the writer's rejections. We've found the right work when we accept its unique challenges as part of the package, rather than temporary obstacles. The 3 marriages cannot be balanced. They must be integrated. Taking from one to give to another weakens all 3, as each represents an essential life conversation that cannot be abandoned without harm. Truly loving another means embracing their desires for work and self-discovery, as these form their identity. The marriage of marriages recognizes these elements already exist within us, bringing our inner world into dialogue with the outer. Our flaws and fears become gateways to self-understanding when we explore the deeper conversation beneath surface struggles. What we withhold from ourselves often holds the key to our completion, though we resist it. When we stop trying to balance competing demands and instead weave them together, what serves one area enriches all. Our vulnerability becomes the path to fulfillment, creating a foundation that transcends balance and embraces our full complexity.